Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Our next guest has spent 2 years interviewing girls, teachers, school counsellors and psychologists, and she's come out asking the question, what is happening to our girls? Maggie Hamilton says girls as young as five are concerned about the way they look, they're addicted to shopping, and that sexualized behaviour is now evident in preschoolers. Depression, cutting and eating disorders are also on the rise. What on earth is going on with our girls? Maggie Hamilton is on the line now. Maggie, welcome to Open House.
Wonderful to be with you, Sheridan.
It's good to have you here. I wish we were talking about something a little bit more positive, but we'll get to the how to confront and, I guess, counteract the forces that we're going to be exploring now. But you spent 2 years researching this very topic. Did you go into it with preconceived ideas as to what you'd find?
No, in fact, I wasn't planning to write this book. My previous book is about the lives of boys, you know, growing up into manhood. And when I'd finished that, a number of people said to me, well, I guess you'll be doing the girls now. And my response was, well, there's really nothing much new to talk about girls. We kind of know how they're tracking, you know, they can now be brain surgeons or whatever. And, you know, there's a few girls doing silly stuff, but things are basically fine. But being a curious person, I thought, well, I will have a look anyway. And when I started to get into the research, I began to realize that actually some really concerning things were happening that people weren't generally aware of. Mm. The fact that, you know, we've got 1 in 10 girls cutting themselves, you know, which is a broad term, not just for slicing their flesh, but a whole range of self-harming. Girls as young as 12 getting so drunk at weekends that they're being admitted to emergency wards unable to breathe. You know, so there's a lot of things happening. This isn't happening to every girl by any means, and I really want to stress that. Mm. However, and it's a huge however, when a lot of us were growing up, you know, if girls were involved in troubling behaviour, that was tended to be very covert because society was such that it wasn't appropriate to behave like that. Now, of course, with popular culture and the celebrity culture, that very out there, showy, performing kind of culture is very much alive and well, you know, through the Britneys and Paris and so on. Mm. And so even if girls aren't in this kind of behaviour pattern, what is happening is that, you know, this is spoken about very, very openly at school, on the internet and so forth. And so they are very well aware. And look, a number of girls said to me, there is nothing I haven't seen. Mm. And these weren't girls who were on the edge or anything. And, I mean, I talked to girls, country girls, girls in the inner city, from well-off homes, from not-so-well-off homes. It was a real grab bag, and the story was the same everywhere.
And where are they seeing it?
They are seeing it at school.
How?
Monday mornings, the discussion, the cell phones. They are seeing it if they do go to parties. They are seeing stuff at sleepovers. There are disturbing trends, you know, with a number of adults now involved in porn. You know, a girl from a household where there's none of that kind of material might go over to play with girlfriends and or to see girlfriends if they're older. And, you know, kids have a very good way of finding these mm-hmm. things, even if they are hidden. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the internet. And, of course, now girls can, now that there are mobile phones that are email enabled, they don't even have to go home to look at the family computer or their computer at home to download material that is inappropriate. So there are so many ways that inappropriate material can be circulated amongst girls in a way that parents cannot control. And so I think the inner boundaries is absolutely essential to girls.
We were talking, well, I guess we've kind of strayed onto the sexualized behavior aspect, and let's maybe cover that and then move on to some of the others. But you were mentioning that sexualized behavior is now evident in preschoolers. Tell me more about that.
Yes, this is a real shock, Sheridan. I interviewed a number of preschool and kindy teachers because I actually begin the book at with babies because they're now the new multi-billion-dollar market. Now that advertisers know that babies can retain brand logos from 6 months. So I thought I wanted to see how that was playing out in the preschoolers. and they did. They said that this inappropriate sexual behaviour and language. These were mainly teachers who were early to mid 40s, so still, I guess you'd say, kind of young and relatively with it in, you know, terms of popular culture and things, mm-hmm. but mature enough perhaps to have children of their own and to have seen a pattern. You know, they've been teaching long enough to see a pattern. They also saw, for instance, that there's a massive drop in imagination. The way kids play, for instance, with Bratz dolls, is it's not that kind of nurturing sort of play that you get with little girls with, you know, what we call traditional dolls.
Right.
But they saw themselves very much as that baby Bratz, or, you know, things like Barbies. When the Barbie dolls came out, they were, which actually are based on a very sexy German cartoon figure for adults, would you believe?
Huh.
But at least at that stage, they were for girls kind of 6 to 8. But the Barbie marketers realised there was a whole untapped market there, and so there's now Barbie product from 18 months. Uh-huh. And when Barbie came out, it used to be just a doll. Now it's a whole world.
Mm. In fact, we've spoken to Melinda Tankard-Rice from Women's Forum Australia before,
yeah.
and she's been highlighting the fact that the Barbie magazine has actually been pushing to younger and younger girls sexualized images and sexualized ideas, you know,
yeah.
encouraging them to have crushes on older men and things like that.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
It is, because what this does is, and of course there's lots of other negative things beyond the immediate sexualization, which in itself is extremely worrying, like the intense worry about body image and so forth. And so from a very early age, girls are getting the impression that it's all about the packaging. It's not about the internal person. There's no internal life. It's not about learning one's unique gifts to the world, learning about what you need as an individual to feed you so that you start to grow into a person who learns how to self-nurture and have a sense of your place in the world that, you know, has something to contribute beyond, you know, the Botox and the boobs.
Mm.
And this is really intensifying. Now we see in our tweens, who are the little girls 6 to 12, where we're getting, you know, a lot of the anxieties and concerns that were really, until recently, the domain of teenage girls.
This is Open House. Maggie Hamilton is our guest. We're asking that question, what's happening to our girls? It's the title of Maggie's book, and we're talking about young girls being influenced more and more, I guess, by, to some degree, the raunch culture, but it actually goes beyond that. We'll podcast this via the openhouse.net.au. So let's move on to some of those other ideas as well. Let's talk about the relationship that these young girls, preteen girls, actually have with material things, with shopping and things like that. We're hearing of 5-year-olds addicted to shopping.
Absolutely. And in fact, when you talk to a lot of young mothers, they actually say, you know, who says it's 5, it's kind of more like 2 and 3. Because, and this begins with that whole thing of brand logos, babies being able to retain brand logos from 6 months, so that by the time they're 2, they can, a mum can go into a store and they identify these trademarked branded toy figures.
Mm.
And, you know, mothers naturally start to want to buy these things because they see the child's delighted. And before you know it, they've got a whole bedroom themed out of this, including the DVDs, which are basically just product placement with a certain storyline.
Mm.
But what this is creating with our little girls, by the time they get to the tweens, which is your 6 up, is we're now seeing children choosing friendships according to brand names. The incredible anxiety about how they package themselves before they go outside. And it's really interesting. Once you start to cotton on to this, you know, you look at little girls in shopping centres and stuff, and you'll see the amount of effort that has gone into the way they dress, you know, the way the headbands worn, things like that. And you'll actually notice often a lot of very posy behaviour that I was completely oblivious to, I have to say, but now I suppose I'm kind of hyper alert.
Yes.
But around this, we're getting depression, we're getting eating issues, we are also getting an earlier sexualization. I have a number of police I spoke to in the book, including Undercover on the Net, and one policeman said to me, and he's a young dad in his mid-30s, that he's actually had a number of cases of 11-year-old girls who've been, quotes, raped, and they had been going out with boys of 17 and 18, And while in no sense was he suggesting that any girl, just because she's behaving provocatively, is asking for rape, he made, I think, the very valid point that we have to realise that these girls seeing the music videos and stuff, behaving in certain ways, sends signals that they don't understand. Mm. And, you know, in the popular culture world, you know, they're putting it out there. You know, guys who are a lot older read that differently. I am in no way excusing rape, but this is what I think parents who allow girls to wear clothes that are inappropriate for that age, they have to realise that they will attract attention, and it's not just pedophiles, it's people who just don't get the message, that it's a different message than what that girl... I mean, what we're talking about here, Sheridan, is little girls trying to grow up. They want to be loved and belong. And if they have a culture that says to them, you know, slutty dress is the way you're going to get attention and be popular and loved, what have they got to judge that against unless we give them alternatives?
That's
they don't know.
Exactly right. Absolutely, that's exactly right. When you were talking to these young girls, what did you find that they really worry about most? It might be the teens, it might be the tweens, the preteen girls. What are they really anxious about?
The tween girls are absolutely anxious about fitting in and about being seen to do the right thing. So it's quite simplistic.
The sexualized behavior will help you to fit in with the boys, and the brand name clothes and all of that kind of stuff will help you to fit in with the girls.
Yeah. And the marketers know this because, you know, when you read all the marketing literature, because this is what I've done, read all the stuff that, you know, people are studying at uni and so forth, the tweens are seen as one of the best demographics to market to because of their anxieties. And there are whole books on this. I mean, one was, you know, how to get your slice of the great tween buying machine, multi-billion-dollar market. I mean, it's just obscene to think we're doing this. When you get to our teenage girls, there is a lot of anxiety, and I think that is one of the reasons why we're getting the binge drinking and cutting and so forth. They feel caught between a celebrity culture where you have to be thin, beautiful and popular, and everything you do has to be awesome. And also, and I think this is a real message for parents, parental expectations. Now girls can be brain surgeons and what have you. And we say to them, you know, you've got all this choice. They read that as, you know, having to do something amazing again at an age when a lot of them really have no idea what they want to do with their life. And why would you at 14? Mm. The other pressures, of course, are to be thin. And the other huge pressure is girlfriends. And the bullying is getting to very concerning levels
now. I wanted to ask you about that because actually you mentioned in the book that reality TV could perhaps be contributing to that bullying culture amongst the girls.
Yes, which was a surprise to me because I talked to a number of school counsellors across the country on a whole range of things. And when we got to bullying, they said that they had seen a definite change in the... I mean, there's always been cattiness amongst girls. We know that. But to a whole new level. And, you know, when you think of it, most reality TV shows, if not all of them, are psychologically very cruel and nasty. Mm. Today your face fits, tomorrow you're flung out, people doing humiliating things to belong, etc., etc. And they see in some girls, not all, but an increasing lack of empathy and these kinds of psychological cruelties within the group. You know, you're in today, you're out tomorrow. And I had girl after girl, I mean, they would go fetal in their body language when I talked to them about the bullying.
Really?
And yes, and they'd say, you know, it's about everything. You know, if you wear the wrong shoes, I have to watch, they actually watch certain TV programs like Homework so that they can say that, you know, they've seen the last episode. They have to listen to certain types of music. It is so prescriptive. And, you know, I had girls telling me that they watch other TV shows, but they never let on to their girlfriends because it could mean expulsion. Right up to, and I show some of the stuff that's happening on the net, but I have one case study, or a couple actually in there, of girls who've groomed other girls to suicide. So that's at the extreme end of it. Obviously, it's not every girl having that, but it is getting far more intense than it has ever been.
Yeah. This is Open House. Maggie Hamilton is with us. What is happening to our girls? That's the question we're asking. The openhouse.net.au has the podcast. All right, so thousands of parents are now listening on your every word, Maggie, as to how we can counteract these forces that these young girls are actually experiencing, because it's coming from the playground, it's coming from the girlfriends, it's coming from the culture, it's coming from everywhere. Now, walk us through four or five principles of what we can do to start helping our girls to break free from what is actually a very destructive cultural trend.
Yeah, look, and there are so many things parents can do, and I think a lot of it is back to basics and to trust your own instincts as a parent. I think a lot of parents have lost confidence, and the marketers have worked on that. Mm-hmm. It is creating a very strong, vibrant home, sitting down with family meals, where there is a chance for discussion. And it's really important that parents discuss these kind of things that are happening, but to do it in a way that the girls don't feel targeted, because this is not a generation that likes to be lectured to. That is the quickest way to turn these kids off. And it's really important that parents are on board with popular culture and high-tech advances, you know, the cell phones, etc. So that, let's take the example of Brittany a few months ago. She shaved off her hair. To actually have, to bring it up in conversation, to say, oh, I saw that on the news, that is just the most awful thing. There are so many troubled girls, you know, because they're worried about their weight, their, you know, what girlfriends think. And, you know, I remember when I was a teen, there was lots of times it wasn't good. Isn't it sad that she never had anybody to talk to? Mm. So you're already giving them a sense of understanding the world, because this is a big thing the kids said, you know, mum and dad have no idea. They have no idea what we're dealing with, and so they feel that mum and dad can't help. So it's not about encouraging them to plunge into popular culture, but to show that you're actually on the ball and to start to teach them the emotional nuances of teenage life and acknowledging it's not easy. I found that a lot of kids who went to youth groups attached to their church were kids who were tracking the best. Mm-hmm. Because those youth groups were run by people in their early 20s, which were aspirational for the kids, and where all this stuff could be discussed without shock.
Okay.
I think another thing is often kids don't want to tell parents because they don't want to worry them. And I think it is that thing of having a strong community around you. Perhaps it's a favourite auntie or, you know, mum's best friend who the girls look up to, who they think's rather gorgeous. Allowing that, you know, if you're comfortable with that person's values, allowing a relationship to develop there where they might talk about this stuff.
Mm. Like a broader network of elders around them.
It is a broader network of elders. Another thing I think is to have rituals during the week, family rituals, whether it's, you know, pizza together on Friday night, making the home a joyous place and inviting the friends in, the girlfriends, so that home becomes a desirable place to be. And also that you'll find that girls will often open up, and this is for teens generally, they hate being eyeballed. But, you know, if you have one of the rituals might be going to collect croissant for breakfast on Saturday morning, that you go with dad in the car or you go with mum in the car to do that if you can't walk, it's too far. Often, or driving to school, often it's those times when you're having that shared space, but it's not that eyeball to eyeball. Mm-hmm. Things can be brought up in a way that it doesn't seem like they're getting lectured to, because these kids have more access to information in a day than their grandparents had in the whole of their childhoods. So if parents don't talk about things like cutting and find out a bit more about it, they will find that elsewhere. And so understanding that teenage life is tough. And one big thing the kids said to me, mum and dad never give us credit for how hard it is to be a good kid.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing as well.
Yeah, okay, lavish some praise on them when they're actually doing really well.
Lavish praise. And also give them the scripts for, you know, if they are allowed to go to a party or something and it's all getting out of hand, you know, and for parents to be the bad guys, for them to say, I have to go now, I'd love to stay, but mum and dad will kill me.
Mm, that's interesting. Allow yourself to be, because it's almost the thing, oh, you know, I hate my children to think that I'm the ogre. Actually, you're saying that gives the children permission to do the right thing because they can blame you.
That's right. And so we have to be smart about these scripts so that they know how to navigate these things, because we're never going to catch up with all the stuff that's on the net. So that's why our kids have to have really firm boundaries, not so that, you know, they grow up in a cage and are not allowed out, but so that they can reach adulthood in a way that is empowered and positive, and they can get out there and thrive.
Mm. Maggie, of course, when we think about influences on young girls' lives, we do think of the Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohans and the Paris Hiltons, etc.
Yeah.
What did you discover about the influence that parents actually do have with their kids? Well, were the kids still ready to listen?
The kids are ready to listen, but it's how we talk. There's no
it's
point in us,
approach.
For instance, saying respect yourself, because there is nowhere in popular culture, there are no role models, really, that respect themselves. So you have to talk about the consequences, like the I was mentioning with Brittany, the emotional thing. Imagine how awful it would be for her, you know, the next day and the day after, to wake up and realise she still doesn't have any hair because she didn't know that she could get help, because we all need help during our teen time. You know what I mean? There's lots of ways we can do it. So we need a new language. And this is where, if we just keep that weather eye on popular culture, you know, when you're in the supermarket shopping, just seeing the front of the magazine or whatever, and using that as conversation pieces.
Okay. And Maggie, you can't help but have the blood boil a little bit at the marketers of children's toys. What do you think we as a community should be doing in this regard?
Well, I think there needs to be heaps more regulation. I mean, in Sweden, you're not allowed to market to under 12. But if governments won't, then parents have to. You've got a lot of power, and you can write into magazines, you know, get petitions, all sorts of things, if there is content you don't like. And I think parents have forgotten that, and it's time to use it.
All right. Maggie Hamilton, appreciate your time at Open House. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Sheridan.
Yeah, Maggie Hamilton there. She's the author of What's Happening to Our Girls. It's published through Penguin Books.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.